We've gathered here tonight, around the fire.
We are now conducting our final systems check.
Our library is well stocked with priceless first editions. Only ghost stories, of course.
All right, 1, 2, 3.
WDW Radio.
Your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show. Your passport to the Disney parks. I am your host and your friend, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 782. And together, for nearly 20 years, I've wanted to not only help you have the best possible vacation experience when you go to the parks, but I also want to bring you a little bit of that Disney magic wherever you are. Here on the podcast, my weekly live video every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and Facebook, blog, group events, weekly newsletter, and more. Please join the community and find everything at wwradio.com. And this week, sometimes interviews don't always go as planned, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, as is the case this week. I recently sat down with renowned chef and all-around really nice guy, Chef Arch Smith of Chef Arch Smith's Homecoming in Disney Springs fame. And we met and sat down at the restaurant to talk about some of the new menu items that are coming, Florida Fresh, coming later this year. And the conversation turned wonderfully into so much more. So this week, I invite you to please pull up a chair, grab some hush puppies and deviled eggs, maybe a little moonshine if you're so inclined, and chat with me and the delightful Chef Art Smith. Trust me, it feels so much less like sitting down with a celebrity chef versus sitting down with an old friend telling stories. Then stay tuned for our Disney trivia question of the week and more updates at the end of the show. Please connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Subscribe to my free weekly newsletter and get a copy of my free 102 Things to Do at Walt Disney World at least once book when you do so. And if you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, please share the show and tell a friend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. I have always believed that the heart of the home is the kitchen. And for me, some of my fondest memories growing up was gathering around the kitchen table with friends and family. And even now, maybe gathered around the island in our kitchen, just picking on foods that are comfortable and ignite conversation and create memories. And I think the heart of the home is the kitchen, and the heart of homecoming is Chef Art Smith. Chef, it is good to see you again.
Good to see you again, Luke.
Thank you for inviting me into a place that, for a lot of us who are locals, feels like home. Like, we feel like we're coming back to sort of relax out on the porch.
Well, we're really very proud of our local people that come here. I mean, I'm always just amazed how many people locally come here. And I remember in the very beginning, I think that, you know, Disney has always been a part of the Orlando and the surrounding parts of Central Florida for so long. But, you know, the total intent of homecoming was to, I mean, I told someone important, I said, beyond the magical gates, there's a Florida that tastes good. And that was the epicenter. That's the main theme mantra of homecoming that Heather, Guy, and Mark, Jason, and all the team here, they keep that total theme within, because we are Florida. We have Florida farmers, we use Florida products, and we add dishes that are inspired, like this wonderful Jasper board. I'm all about sharing food, and in all, one of the greatest lessons we're taught as children is to share your food. Mm-hmm. And foods in good times, foods in sad times. You know, last night I had a big, beautiful meal over at Haleo, and I was there just for Jose, you know. And And I wanted to be there for him and to show him that I loved him. And, you know, he'll find out that I was there, you know, but I wanted to, that was my way of showing respect to him. You know, that's very common in our part of the world, is that we show our respects to people. And again, in good times and sad times, mm-hmm. we come with food. We come with, you know, how are you? What can I do for you?
And you're not hungry? Let me make you something to eat.
You know, no, exactly. You know, we love people to death with food. I mean, and that's simply how we do it. But, and that's what I feel so much about, is that we really, you know, try to create dishes that that really are inspire that. And again, it's all about the story. The story has to be as delicious as the food, you know. And so as we add these items, you know, there's some story involved. Like, you know, we call it the Jasper board. Why? Because I'm from Jasper, Florida, and North Florida, that little town up there that you go by real fast on I-75. And my mother would never have made anything like this, but it's a homage to my childhood, because all these items, from the pimento cheese to the chicken salad to the smoked sausage ham, the sweet pickles, we eat sweet pickles, and we got some tomato jam that's really good, which became kind of popular later. Now, we need some cream cheese on here, because we would have spread that on some cream cheese, and we got, of course, we grow up pecans up there, pecans, as we call them, and we spice them up. They're really delicious. And this is a wonderful, shareable thing that I love. And what I love about it is that it's delicious, and it enables – it's like you get things started with it. And that's what I love. I love food that initiates conversation. And I think that's really important. And because – as much as we want to focus all on the food, we need to, which we do here at Homecoming, is we focus on our guests. I've never had a restaurant in all my career where our guests say to me, I loved my server, and they will name the server. And they do, and they make a really, really, they give their hearts out and do their best to make sure that these wonderful people that come from all over, or they may just come down the street, have a lovely time. And so, you know, we get a great return. And so that makes me very, very proud. I mean, we're 7 years old, I think we are, seven. And to think that, but, you know, every day is a new day, and we get families from all over the world. And, you know, family is universal. It doesn't make any difference if it's American family or it's French family, Italian family, or Asian family, whatever. We're all family. And under this roof, you are. And under this roof, this is home. And so, you know, we've tried really hard to really keep things fresh and alive by creating new menu options. You know, a lot of people don't know that we change the menu 4 times a year, and but we don't change fried chicken. It is the pinnacle. It is the holy grail. You know, it's something that, you know, it's my shtick. And
well, it's what we fall in love with. Like, we as guests, like, I come here a lot, and I'm made to feel like I'm family. And it's not just me, but I'll have other friends come in and say, I haven't been to Homecoming in 6 months, and my server remembered me from last time I was there. With thousands and thousands of guests, that matters. Like, right. The servers can make or break. It doesn't matter how good the food is. But we often forget that the menu changes seasonally, because we have the things that we love, and, like, I know what I'm coming in for.
Yeah, you have to be careful about changing menus, because a lot of people do have their favorites. Like, you know, I get it all the time on social media. I'm coming all the way from Oregon just to have hummingbird cake. God forbid if we ever took hummingbird cake off.
Chef, you want to make Disney fans lose their marbles? Tell them you're changing something.
And oh, yeah. Yeah, they exactly. But we've been very fortunate, and, you know, there's, you know, like, there's things about me you probably don't even know, that when I was starting off as a chef, I got made fun of for doing home-style food.
Why?
They called me a homie chef. And
why? Was it not elegant, refined enough?
Was it fancy enough? Yeah. And but I remember my first job when I was Governor Bob Graham's chef, and Nella Schomburger, the goddess of deliciousness and catering, said to me, now, we don't do that hotel-y food. So we do food that's served in a home. And I was like, I used to look at her and go like, and I had just come out of the Greenbrier, okay? And I was like going, well, and I I'll tell you some funny stories about, like, you know, me cooking out of there was a wonderful caterer out of New York called Food Glory's Food, and they had this big book, and I cooked out of it, and you know who the guest was? He'll laugh, okay, because I was trying to impress him. He was with the governor, and he was announcing the new studio, Michael Eisner.
No kidding.
And I had made tomato sorbet. What's tomato sorbet taste like? And I was like, and she kind of looked at me and she said, now, do you remember when I told that little, that for future lesson art, I said, oh my God, the future lesson, that comet comes out again. She said, we try to keep it, you know, like a lovely, like French silk pie, you know, with a cream on the side. And nothing beats a great chicken and wild rice casserole. And like, Lord have mercy. She's going to get me. But you know what? I love chicken wild rice casserole. Thank you very much. One of my favorite. I'm going
to
tell you something.
Add that to the menu. That sounds delicious.
Honey, I will tell you something. The Junior League, between them and Southern Living, have written. They have chronically become the tastemakers of this part of the world, because they all these dishes that we enjoy so much. Like last night, I get this blip from Southern Living all the time, and it was how to make biscuits about 8 different ways. I'm like, oh my God. And cream cheese biscuits. I saw that one. I'm like, oh, I love that one. But you know, we ain't changing our our cheddar drop biscuits with herbs. I'm telling you something. That's another one. We changed that.
And you can't.
We'd have mutiny on the Springs.
You absolutely can't. I say this to people all the time, Chef. Like, no matter, I think that no matter what business we're in the relationship business, right? You own a restaurant, but you are in a relationship business with your staff, with your customers, and there's this establishment of trust that you've earned with guests, you know, when you quit. And that's why we come back, right? Because of this trusted relationship. And so when you do introduce something new, we trust you enough to know, like, this has to meet up to chef standards for him to be able to introduce it on the menu to us. And dare I say, even take something off the menu in order to replace it with this.
Well, you know, one thing I learned from that lesson working at that big house was, I don't care who you are, and I'll be honest with you, the more complicated your life, the more simple you want your food. Complicated people don't want complicated food.
Yeah.
It's true. People say, like, oh, you cook for her? What'd she eat? She had fried chicken. She's fried chicken? I said, of course she does, because no one else ever offered it to her. I mean, the reality is that we should take pretense out of food and celebrate each other and just have something really delicious. And I'm not saying when you do this food, it should be subpar. No way, because that's a good way to break conversation. Like, you know, the conversation goes from, oh, we were having a great time. Oh, my gosh, that food was worse, but we had great conversation. So we don't want that.
But simple,
yeah. Yeah, and it should become, and I agree with that 100%. And you know, here at Homecoming and really creating that mantra that I told you about, that fresh from Florida, that feeling of Florida. Florida, you know, I grew up in Florida. It's pioneer state, you know what I mean? And my ancestors were pioneers. And so even though it was kind of rustic and, you know, and I can tell you some stories about growing up on Beehaven Bay in the swamp, and my grandpa was a moonshiner. That's why we had moonshine. You know, it's like, I think he drank more than he actually sold. And daddy grew tobacco and, well, all this kind of stuff, all this stuff that you ain't supposed to do, we did it. And I love and adore. And as I grow older, I cherish and love my family and my ancestors, for they go with me everywhere I go. And I'm grateful. And, you know, and the greatest gift was my late mother being able to see the restaurant being built and opened and actually tasting it before her death, but which was truly thanks to Heather. And it was just, that was probably the most highlight of my whole, and that's why we have Addie Mae's chicken dumpling soup. It's still on the menu, and people love it.
And, you know, I love that you are sharing these stories and these memories, because there's, one of the things I love about Homecoming is that there is an authenticity to the story. This is not a made up sort of backstory that you're bringing into the restaurant. This is not sort of a story that's being laid over. The things that you create, not just on the menu, but the names that you give them, are here because they're personal. And I think that's one of the things that translates, and it's one of the reasons for not just the success of the restaurant, but I think that, as you know, the loyalty that so many of us have to it.
Most definitely. I was, you know, like yesterday, I've been asked to go out to Sun Valley and do a big event for the Sun Valley Culinary School. And I'm going to do a professorship, wow, which I think kind of cool. And, you know, Sun Valley has all my people out there. You know me and all those fancy rich people, I'll be there. They love fried chicken. Anyway.
Who doesn't love fried chicken?
Right.
But I was talking to, and this is, and this goes, regardless it's a Sun Valley or this is Seminole or this is Orange, whatever school in America. And one thing I was telling her that I would tell every culinary student, you can be taught to cook, but the passion comes from within you. And you have to remember, when you create a dish, don't forget the story. Mm-hmm. And that the story is so important to your success. And focus on dishes that you want. It's like, at the end of the day, what do you want on your tombstone? You know what I mean?
Well, you do. You think about legacy, right?
Hummingbird cake, exactly. And you know, Oprah used to say, if it's good, we serve it again, mm-hmm, and again, and again, and again. You know? So she also taught me, like, you know, ain't about being different. It's about being better.
Yeah.
And, you know, these words of wisdom. And I still remember the days when working for all these people, when cell phones came. And, you know, it was very common to have conversation in the kitchen with these people. Now you can't, because their phones are like on and they're on and everything. But I'd make them breakfast and like, poof, I'd slip right in there and have my little conversation. And but it was really, those are my very sweet, special times. And why I liked that work is because I love interacting with people. Because to me, I love cooking. I'm passionate about it. But I like the serving of people and feeding people. You know, yesterday we had a chef's roundtable here at Disney Springs. Mr. Disney would be really proud.
I'm sure.
And what we're doing is engaging the chef community here because, you know, Disney Springs is quite now well known for restaurants. You know, it's a restaurant destination. And so we had all the restaurants there. And it was really wonderful to see a lot of great chefs, you know, and being out. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. You know, when I first started my restaurant business, it was hard for me to get my chefs, who have now been with me 20 years, to go out into the dining room. I mean, they were very insecure about that. And I told them, I said, it's no longer pay no attention about the man behind the mm-hmm. curtain. You remember in Oz?
Yeah, sure.
You know, people want to know who's behind the curtain. Yeah. People want to know who creates the magic. You know, when you come, and that's why to me here at Walt Disney World, it's important that we not forget that behind the magic was a man named Walt Disney, that really had a dream, and with a brother named Roy that loved his brother enough, who kept him out of bankruptcy and kept him straight, you know, together and financially, and with that dynamic duo created all this. And I'm always amazed about how wonderful, you know, that those two were in the team. And don't forget, you know, Lily and those kids, because he used to take the kids to the park, and they get on the carousel and on the train, he was inspired by a lot of different things. And I think I told you this, but you know, I'm getting old, so I repeat myself. But can you believe, now you ready for this? Do you know how long I've been associated with Disney?
Well, you're younger than you purport to be, but I do know and I love the fact that you share your story in the front of the restaurant through photographs and things like that, because Chef Art Smith's homecoming is not your first rodeo at Walt Disney World.
No, it's not. I have been here, been in these woods around here when it was woods, 43 years.
Wow.
I was in the first college program. It was called the Magic Kingdom College Program. And I lived at Snow White Village, Seven Dwarf Lane in Kissimmee. And I remember driving my car through the country, through the all, and it would be late at night because this was this FSU university student that wanted to bake cake, and he looked at me like, why do you want to do that? I said, I want to bake cake. They said, don't you want to work in Magic Kingdom? No, I don't want to work in Magic Kingdom. I want to work where everything's going on. I want to see the action. Well, I did. And you know what I loved about that was? It was kind of a magical time. It was like 1981. And the reason why it was magical, because they were building, prepping, creating Epcot. Mm-hmm. And when they were building World Showcase, all those people from Paul Bacchus to all those different people were there testing. And I got to meet them all. And if I had been like working one, I would have never met them. That's why, and, you know, trust me. You know, if there's a will, there's a way. I'm going to meet them. You know, I come, if I come, it's like, you know, beware of people with Trojan horses. Well, beware of Chef Art bringing gifts because he wants them out of it. You know, like my first book, I got up early in the morning. We were in New York City, and I was like, when I said, I got to bake some hummingbird cakes. I baked 10 hummingbird cakes in the Four Seasons kitchen. The only reason he let me do it because I was Oprah Winfrey chef, okay? And I baked all these cakes and loaded them up into the back of the car. And every publisher, I said, hey, y'all today, come have some cake. And then that just breaks the ice.
Yeah.
But that's not new. You know, you saw me bringing in donuts. You saw that, didn't you? Okay, beware. And yeah, the jersey, beware.
Yeah, but it goes back to, we talk about the relationship, right? Your relationship with your staff, right? You show them that you love on them, you appreciate them. And I say this all the time, Chef. One of the things I love about you, and I say this not just in your presence, but to other people, and one of the things I love about Chef Art Smith's homecoming is you're not just a name on a marquee. You're here all the time, not because you're doing some sort of a PR book signing thing, because your name is on the marquee and you come and you interact with guests and you talk to them, not as a quote unquote celebrity chef, but as somebody who's invited them to the home. And it matters. You know, the chef's coming out, the same thing, like that matters and is a big deal to people.
Well, you know, the reality is like, I was having my little conversation with the ambassador and, You know how my feeling about it. If you drop names, I have my own situation. That, you know what that is? You can drop them if you know them. If you don't know them, it's tacky. All right. Okay. So I was speaking with Ambassador Levine from Lisbon, and she's always like, she's like, you are going to come in May for the Napa situation. Blah, blah, blah. I said, yes, ma'am. And you are going to come and do fried chicken for NATO. Yes, ma'am. And I said, and you know how I met her? I gave a dinner for children with cancer, and it was for 8 people, fried chicken. She bought it for $25,000, and I did the dinner in the Hamptons in her palatial house, and we became friends over fried chicken 15 years ago. And so, I mean, isn't that funny? And, you know, the over fried chicken. So she said, and I told her, I said, I was telling her I was just been asked to be a presenter at the Beard Awards, which I haven't done since about 2015. And it's a big deal. It's the Oscars.
Yeah.
But every year that I've done it 3 times, I have a theme. And two of the times, I'm trying to remember the other, but one I remember in particular, I did transgender, and I brought the most beautiful transgender woman ever. Gorgeous. And it was because I was trying to really make people understand, and no better way than walking the red carpet. And then this most recent, I wanted to really push, you know, the importance of diplomacy in chef diplomacy. So I walked with the State Department woman, Lauren Bernstein, who designed the chef diplomacy program for Hillary Clinton. And she was there, and I had this, and I didn't tell you about my get-up. I had this Manuel, who's this incredible entertainment designer who's done from Elvis, you know, the white suit, to Lady Gaga, Dolly Parton, Elton, wow. The list goes on. It was razzle-bedazzled, okay? And I walked in, and we were like, woof. And so now this year, where you, maybe I should tell you. I'll give you what I'm going to focus on. You know, food is a common thread. We all love it, right? What is sports without food? Nothing.
Also true.
So I'm going to bedazzle a Sporty Bird jersey with a beautiful, fabulous tux, and I'm going to have some fabulous kicks, and I've got two of my finest Chicago hounds riding on both sides of me. We're going to walk down the red carpet. We're going to say, remember, when you got sports, you got to remember food. And because it's really huge. I mean, I want to tell you something. You know, my partner here, Mark Gibson, he got a pickleball court in his front yard. And that man is so serious. I will tell you, this is how serious this was. We had a wonderful party for one of the Disney executives that were retiring. Lovely man. He's been a friend of ours for so long. And he had these shoes. He was kind of like played with them. Like, he goes, don't look at mine. Mine are neon green. He goes, these are my new pickleball shoes. So I said, oh, why are they, Mark? He said, I'm really kind of, you know, wearing them so they'll feel better when I play, because I have to play in the morning at 8 o'clock. And I said, oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I mean, serious. And you know, it's all, you know, it all sounds like fun and everything, but people that play pickle, it is a major serious sport. And the world champion lives in Naples, Florida. Is like the epicenter for it. That and padel and everything is just, it's really huge. I mean, you know, anything that gets people out, being active, getting active, eating. I mean, to me, again, you know, if you're going to watch sports, I don't care if you're watching TV, you put something in your hand, you got food or you got a drink, okay? You know, the same way, you know, like, you know, Heather, who does all our PR here, she's a very lovely woman, even though she went to University of Florida. Gator. And I, of course, go Noles. You know, we're totally like, you know, always at each other, but I don't mind. I was actually going to go to University of Florida, but they didn't have a hotel school. And I was not smart enough to be a veterinarian, you know. But I love 4-H, and that was kind of the epicenter for 4-H. I learned a lot from 4-H, and I'm a big believer in those kind of organizations for kids. Mm-hmm. It really gives them something to really engage in. I think activities are such an important part, you know, and that's why it's important for families to be active together. Like, we had Splitsville, and we had the bowling alley, and people bowl, and they eat. It's a big thing, mm-hmm. because the reality is, you know, it's the only, are you going to ride a balloon or whatever? You can't eat in that balloon. But the fact is, you know, you can drop donuts on people, but not, let's not do that. Or, you know, ride a boat. But you can sit in there in Splitsville, have you ever had their wonderful rolls, their sushi rolls?
I was going to say, Chef, Splitsville sushi is like the secret.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. It is the most. I have eaten sushi all over the world, okay? And every person of any statue I take over there, and they all go like, holy sushi.
And I'm like, you don't think bowling alley sushi is like gas station sushi, but it's not. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And I love my neighbors here. Now, I don't say nothing. Now, we worked together in Iron Chef America. Did you know that I was a judge on Iron Chef America? Yeah, I was the nice one, okay? And then the other one is just evil. You know, make sure you watch me on the new Top Chef Milwaukee. I'm a nice judge. And I do a very, very favorite Wisconsin thing that I don't, it's amazing what these chefs did with it. My favorite part of going to Milwaukee was eating custard. Have you ever had custard from
Milwaukee?
Those Wisconsin people, they know themselves about cheese and custard, and it's called Coops, and it was Cops or Coops. It's delicious. And what happened was they had all this fancy food. And then I kind of looked at Gail and Tom and Chris, and I said, y'all don't be eating fancy food all night. You know, come fess up. Tell me what you're going to do. Tell me. Okay, you got your. They'd be going down to Cops and eating burgers and having having custard. Okay, come on. You know, that's what I'm telling you.
It's a simple comfort food that we all come back to.
Most definitely. And that's why. What I love about Disney Springs, you know, we have a wonderful festival coming up called the Flavors of Florida, and they've worked really hard on it, and they're making it the festival for food here at Disney Springs. And that's what's great about Disney Springs is that it's, you know, it's not a theme park, but it's a park that'll make you feel good because there's a lot of delicious food.
This is the fifth theme park. I spend more time in Disney Springs, Chef, than I do in the parks. Look, I have the physique to prove it. But.
No, but I think that... trust me, you know, I'm one to go visit all my neighbors. You know what I mean? I mean, I was at Haleo last night, and I think I ate half a pig, and then I had this, and you know, bless their hearts, it's hard being Chef Art. You know, usually they, I used to get like a little plate of paella like this. They brought the whole damn pan. It was this big. And I was just celebrating Jose. But it's just, it was so.
I love the fact, because you've mentioned Haleo, you've mentioned Morimoto, you've mentioned Splitsville. I love the fact that, because not everybody does this, Chef, that you don't look at them as competition,
no.
But instead collaboration.
You can't eat fried chicken every day. And, you know, and I'm so proud of our donuts at Everglades. Today is National Caramel Day.
What?
You better get you a caramel donut. I have myself a caramel latte here.
Okay. I have to celebrate accordingly.
Okay. But this is National Caramel Day. And, yeah, I'm a big believer in that. And I love my friends over at Gideon's. Oh, my gosh. I've never seen such a mass hysteria over a cookie. But and
ongoing. Like, it's not a spike. Like, no, it's like exactly. This all day, every day.
And I adore George over here. And, you know, and he knows more about wine than I don't know anybody else does. And then, you know, the Boathouse, you know, everything has a right occasion, right time. It's all about, you know, the reality is this. All of these places share something unique. And for the Disney guests who's coming to Disney Springs, there's a right time and a right place for all of us. And one of the things that we do exceptionally well, I don't know, have you ever had our brunch?
I have. It's, on more than one occasion.
We put the B in brunch. They ain't no better. Hello.
I've come here to Springs. I have gotten up out of bed and put on pants just to come here for brunch.
Stretchy pants. I have a stretchy pants.
All of my pants are stretchy pants.
I have little stretchy pants on now, too. I've got them. Oh, my God. I remember I did a show with Oprah, and it was all about stretchy pants food. I'm like, oh, God, where'd that come from? And so, yeah, it is really, really delicious. And one of my most favorite meals is brunch and or breakfast. I call it breakfast because we eat like it's brunch. And in the morning, it's really incredible. But I'm so proud of the fact that, you know, we change our menu. We got great new menu items and seasonally and the chefs getting together and celebrating together. And most importantly, this Flavors of Florida, which is coming up, which will celebrate all the great deliciousness of Disney Springs. I mean, Epcot Food and Wine Festival, I have worked with that for now 20-something years, but it has always been such a major, you know, it's the world's largest food and wine festival.
Yeah.
And what I always loved about it was there are a lot of food and wine festivals, and I've done them, and I want to tell you something. It's the least pretentious one of all of them, and it's not even pretentious. That's not right. The point. It's like, you know, that's the other thing. I don't like pretentiousness in something that we put in our mouth every day. You know what I mean? Come on. You know, it's like, why give our food attitude? You know, people got enough attitude. Why give the food attitude? But but it's like, oh, my gosh. But it was like, you know, it's been a wonderful journey. And, you know, and I've been very, very happy that, you know, the journey continues. And I'm excited, you know, expect to see me taking fried chicken to higher places. I told the ambassador, she said, well, Art, what would you love? And I said, well, what would I love? I said, we're going to do fried chicken in the White House, not in the executive offices. I've done it in the executive office 3 or 4 times. I know you're cooking for them, but I want it in the White House, right in the White House. I'm 64. I'm one of the grandpas like Emerald and Wolfgang that kill me. I call them that. You know, but we all the same age. But, you know, you seen how Emerald's got his son all dutied up and everything? Lord have mercy. They put that child in finishing school. Boy, redid Emerald's. And I look at him, I'm like, how did you do that? And can you take all of my 4 kids and do the same thing to them? But, I mean, they're so – he's a sweet man.
Yeah.
I love him. And you've met him.
Sure. I have not met Emerald, Chef Emerald.
He is the most –
hey, everybody.
Sweet. Hey, how are you?
How are we doing?
The most – we are great. He's the most unpretentious – man I've ever met. He's, you know, the world knows him. He's lovely. You know, I spent a week with another very unpretentious man. He was in the most outrageous situation. You know, you ever heard of Francis Mallman? Francis Mallman. Okay, let me tell you about this chef. He owns his own island in Patagonia. And I want to tell you something. When I walked on that island, it was 6 hours near a city, and it was an hour from the shore to the island. I said to myself,
how much fried chicken must I sell to buy myself an island? It was amazing. Yeah. And what was great about it was everything was cooked by fire. And I met him here in Florida, in Naples, at the wine auction. Ooh. You know, the Naples wine auction is one of the biggest wine auctions in the world, you know. And but he cooks everything by fire. And it was so great being in Patagonia, you know, having this wonderful food and everything. But that was a very experience. But it was, you know, I'll never forget Wolfgang. And he was making me his wife, former wife, Barbara Blintzes. And, you know, they were great. Wolfgang, literally, there in Beverly Hills, in that fancy Beverly Hills hotel, where Pretty Woman was in, he was sat there and made blintzes for me and I table, and I was like going, okay, I feel fancy. Now, I wasn't with Padma, and I wasn't with Tom, but I was with a couple of chefs from Top Chef, and they were real sweet, but it was so sweet of him. I mean, like, and you know, and he's also a nice judge, and we work together, and I like him a lot. You know, Wolfgang's over here, and I love him, and you know, and Mamit, you know, is just open over here too from Chopped. I love her too. She's nice. The whole Chopped bunch are really, really nice. You know, it's interesting too that television and food has. I also think that it's kind of leveled off. Mm. You know, the whole celebrity chef situation, because. Well, America only needs so many, but the fact was is it was also kind of messing up, you know, kids that would go to culinary school. They'd go to culinary school and say, I want to be a star chef.
Right, right.
Well, not everybody.
They want to be a TV star, right. They want to be a TV star more than they want to be
Not everybody can be a star. Yeah. And the reality is I'm not saying don't try, but don't make that your objective because it doesn't work that way. And to be honest with you, still to this day, at my age, I don't feel that famous, okay? I know I've made a lot of people happy, and they know me. But, you know, I ain't the president. You know, I ain't the pope. I'm just a guy who grew up in North Florida, Jasper, you know, who ate Jasper boards, but they weren't assembled that beautiful. And on a tobacco farm, and you know, and I was very, very grateful because I was a horrid, horrid student at FSU. And the dean said, all right, you're a bad student. But I think you can cook. Why don't you go over to the governor's house and help him out?
Well,
and Martha Stewart had come out with a book called Entertaining. This is how long ago it was, and I could do that. I could make it pretty. And then one day they said, you know, we have a guest and we don't think the chef's going to show up because then there was, you know, the whole chef situation changed a lot. You know, there were days when chefs would show up drunk. I mean, and that kind of stuff. Okay. I mean, I'm serious. We don't. No. Okay.
Not here.
Heather's
not
going,
here.
Heather's going like, oh my God. But this was.
He does not mean homecoming.
Honey, this was. Okay. If I was Disney in 43 years, this was almost 50 years ago. Okay. Well, my point I'm trying to say is that they weren't very dependable.
Right. Right.
Okay. Regardless of whatever their issues were. And a guest was coming. And they said to me, we have a guest. Could you cook for them? I said, and this is a very important lesson. You have to know your audience if you're going to be a good business person. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm partners with Guy and Mark and Jason and Buzzy and Heather and all these great people, because they know their audience.
Why this restaurant makes so much sense where it is in the heart of Walt Disney World.
Exactly.
Too.
You know, I ain't stupid. I'm telling you, I know that for sure. So anyway, they said to me, I said, who's guest? They said, Mikhail Baryshnikov. I'm like, And he had just done White Nights with Gregory Hines. Okay, I'm like, hello, I know him. And, but you know, what I never realized is that, you know, he did the whole White Oak series up outside of Jacksonville where he, you know, there was, you know, this multi-billionaire from in New York that had a big palatial piece of land. It's still called White Oak, and now it's a game preserve. And the guy that owns it now also owns the Dodgers. We know all those little hidden jewels, right? And he built a studio for Mikhail there, and Mikhail used it as a workshop for his ballet. But he was in Florida. He came to Tallahassee. Tallahassee, it has some beauty and some love and stuff, and there's some stuff that I don't like. You know. All I can tell you is the seasons change just like the politicians change. I won't say any more. And,
And like the menus change, right? And like the menus change.
Sometimes you have bad weather. Sometimes you have good weather. Sometimes you have sunshine. Sometimes you don't have sunshine. But guess what? We make it all feel better with food. So... Anyway.
All right, so let's talk about menus changing, right, and seasonal changes. Again, you have to sort of balance the fan favorites that right. they come in for. Tell me where, for you, the inspiration comes from, right? As the season starts to change, do you base it on ingredients that are available? Do you think back to cooking with your grandma? Like, where, for you, does the inspiration come? And talk about the process of getting it out of your head and onto a menu.
One. You have to, before you even create something, you have to source ingredients. You don't put it on the menu unless you can find it. So we go to our farmers, we go to our purveyors to find those ingredients. Second, we speak with our people here, the people that work the tables, the management, and everything, and they can tell you where our audience is headed in terms of things that they like. Okay? If you don't have the ingredients and you don't have your audience behind you, why are you putting on the menu?
So you're not trying to serve, you're sort of a dual meaning when I say serve. You're not trying to serve your audience what you want. You're serving the audience what you know that they are starting to lean towards you, that you know that they would like.
Most definitely. You know, when we put thigh-high biscuits on there, why do we do that? Because one, you know, we're not a hot chicken kind of house, but we wanted ours to be special. And so... with the team here, we created thigh-high biscuits, which are a runaway bestseller, like crazy. And with our biscuits, which everybody wants to eat. I was feeding the ducks biscuits yesterday. And they like our biscuits, too. And so I'm like, here, little ducky, you need some biscuit. The guests were going like, look at him feeding them biscuits. But we have the great biscuits and with the fried chicken and that wonderful, sweet, spicy chili sauce. It's really good. And people like spice. But... may God strike me blind. I will never dump my chicken in hot sauce. I will never. I like the fact that we serve our hot sauce here on the side and that you can also buy it and that can guests love that because I come from a place that's about choices. And so don't make the choices for your guests. Let your guests make their own choices. You know what I mean? And so that I like that very, very much.
And don't drown the flavor and exhaust right. the flavor of the chicken
right.
by overwhelming it with heat.
But the thing about, like, you know, we could tell if people are leaning more towards seafood or more they're leaning more towards pork or maybe they're leaning towards, you know, everything. We know, and beef, and we know they're going to eat chicken. But we've taken that, too. Like, you know, we did a wonderful paillard that's really delicious, really, really delicious. And then we have chicken fried steak that'll, like, take you to another level. And it's a lot of... And I look at that thing, and first thing I was in Argentina a month. That looks like that's our version of Southern Milanese. You know what I mean? This big palatial piece. But, you know, there they throw an egg on it and cheese and whatever. It's delicious. But, again, it's a great, wonderful dish that people can share. But, when it comes to the more vegetable side, which was very important because, you know, everybody has this feeling, you know, Ward has got a great new vegetarian cookbook coming out that I'm excited about. I just did some stuff for it. And what's the name of that cookbook?
The Florida Vegetarian Cookbook.
How appropriate is that? And
University Press of Florida, Delia Colon, who's a PBS correspondent over in Tampa. It's okay. A beautiful cookbook. Art helped. Actually, he read the final manuscript.
Right.
Vegetarian food isn't just for vegetarians anymore.
No, and I think, you know, and our mothers, most mothers always said to their children, or grandmothers or aunties or whomever said, eat your vegetable. No, the thing about it is that, and this is a misnomer too, people assume that with all this food that we're known for, we don't eat vegetables. Wrong. I mean, we eat greens until we're green. We eat peas until we're just... like I say, peed out. But we love some peas. And now we eat broccoli. You know what I love about? We have this wonderful side. We have great sides here. Some people tell me, like, what is your favorite thing? I said, eat sides. You know, I have a very famous saying that says, fried chicken takes no sides. And I'm not talking about the sides. I'm talking about the politics.
Right.
Don't put politics in your food. Keep it out. Anyway, it tastes better. So so you know where I'm going with that one. So all you other, those fried chicken place with politics in your food, get away from here. Stay. And so I'm very opinionated about that kind of stuff. And so, but what I was going to tell you is we really have a wonderful bounty of delicious vegetables that are there. They're delicious. I mean, and we find that our customers are always searching for more great vegetables. We brought in this wonderful broccoli salad. It's a classic of every potluck in most of America. That's delicious, and it's even better if it sits overnight. Remember, overnight salad and layered salad and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was at the airport convention. I was looking at all these layered salads. I'm thinking, like, who would have thought layered salad? But you know, they didn't put the mayonnaise dressing on top of it. So because you're supposed to go down deep down, it was interesting how they did it. But I love salads, and we have a lot of different salads, and we also, you know, prepared to do those without any kind of animal protein or, you know, I love Caesar. I don't need grilled chicken on my Caesar salad or fried chicken. I just like Caesar salad. But that's just how I like it. I find the older I get, the more simplistic I am about what I eat. But and that's the same way. And people still want a little dessert. And I'm a big believer in sherry dessert. We have big desserts here, and we encourage people to share. I know it's always about, in the restaurant business, about building a ticket up, building a ticket. But the reality is this, is that if you don't, like, push people, because if people order too much, they're going to blame you. And the other thing, too, is that if you let people just kind of make those choices, and you feel like something's sweet, you don't care when you don't push, they'll come back. And they'll come back and come back and come back again. You know, and so that's what's important that we allow our guests to make choices and not push stuff on them, you know, and so very important.
You know, when you're talking about choices too, when you were talking about salad, yes, you may not guess it by looking at me, but I actually do enjoy, I love being able to come here and say, and the servers and the back of the house staff is so willing to accommodate, whether it's a special dietary requirement or you say, hey, can you give me iceberg lettuce instead of mixed greens, whatever. What's on the menu is the way it's designed, but you're so accommodating and wanting to make sure that the people have the experience that's going to make them happy.
Most definitely. It's all about the customer. And you know,
if they want to drown their chicken in hot sauce, then right, then that's,
well, then they can do that. They can do that, but I don't need to do it for them. You know what I mean? I'll keep mine on the beach and they can go in the hot sauce ocean. You know what I mean? But ain't nothing wrong with it, but it's just not my it's not my chicken. But anyway, I think that letting the guests, you know, there's, I come from a place where no was an option in the private world. You'll say that word. We'll figure it out. We'll make it work. How are we gonna do it?
Yeah, say yes, and then build your wings on the way down.
Yeah, I have flown by the seat of my pants so many times. And they always look at you like, it's so sweet of you how you got that. I'm like, if you only knew, you know. But, you know, it's. I will tell you this. For all that we do here, it don't take a village. It takes a nation. Because we probably have the smallest kitchen of all of Disney Springs. But it takes our collaboration with Splitsville and with Everglades and all these different people here. You know, our sisters, our brothers, to bring homecoming to what it is, and you know, and thanks to Patrick Steele, who's the executive chef of the whole Shamoli, and his team, they're able to make a dream that I had, which I wrote, was about let's give people at Walt Disney World a taste of Florida, because not everybody they come off the airplane, they come here. And they have no idea what it tastes like outside. All there is chains and things like that. But it's better now. But, you know, you can't assume that people are like yourself where they'll go to the markets or stuff. Like, I was like, you know, recently I stayed downtown, and I had never been, and I had to go see Trina at Seven Buzz. What a line to Bountiful. And I'm going, and she came out the door and said, "Hi, honey, come on in." And all them people looking at me like, "Who is he? Who is he that just broke the line?" And you know, and God bless her. You know, I love her. And you know, and some other great people. And that's what my goal is now, is to get more out in the Orlando area, and to, because there's a lot of great people there cooking their hearts out. Because quite honest with you, you know, one big family, we're all connected. And again, it's a time and place for everything. And there are people that are in downtown or in the surrounding areas that will come here. They'll come here under the reference of one of those great chefs or everything. You know, I'm telling you, that's just how it is. You know, I went to that brewery that has all the food trucks and everything like that. I went, that was one of my adventures. And I had to try out all the food trucks. And I had some noodles that set me on fire. But that was kind of fun. But anyway, what's the name of those noodles? It's a popular one. I forgot the name of it.
Pho? Was it pho?
Yes. Yeah. But it was really good. But anyway, it was fun. And I'm a huge fan of hot dogs. You know, we have a hot dog concept in Tampa that's really...
What?
Yeah, sure did.
Joe Dog.
Joe Dog, yeah.
You have? It's
No. The partners have. And but you
I'm
know
sensing a road, I'm happy I'm sensing put, a road trip happy, in my near future.
I'm happy to put my name on, around it, because I love a hot dog. And I was just at the, like I said, the airport thing, and I was saying, like, everywhere I travel in the world, they got a hot dog. I was in Bora Bora, and all I remember is we came into Bora Bora, and I have heard like an orchestra of roosters. It was like the whole island was alive with roosters. And you know, you have those beautiful peaks, and you're going over, and then all the Polynesians and, you know, et cetera. And I see this little shack, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. And I go, and they were serving these kind of Polynesian, kimchi, Korean kind of hot dogs. And they were delicious. And then with all the Venezuelans we have here, Venezuelan hot dogs are really good, too. And they put crunchy stuff on top of them. They're delicious also. And, you know, oh, my God, my favorite in the world. I was in Stockholm. And I was out late. I went to a drag show, the most fabulous drag show, on a boat in the harbor of Stockholm. And we get out with one of our friends. Connie and I were there. We were there because I had written a book for, what's that? Wassa Bread. And I was there with them. Do you remember that whole story, how she talked about Wassa and the sock went up?
No.
Yes. I got invited to Sweden because of Oprah talking about Wassa Bread. And so I went there. And we got out of the show. It was really amazing. And I see these hot dogs. I'm like, wow. So what they do is, it's like French bread and very small. And they hollow out the center. And they take the dog with the mustard and they put it inside of it.
Wow.
And it is, you will see the Jesus of hot dogs when you eat it. It is so delicious. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say is, like, I love being around the people. What are the people eating? I mean, what are all, like, you know, we have amazing people here from the Orange County Police Department that they're here. And I always wonder, like, what are you eating every day? And where are you going? What tastes good to you? You know, that they tell you a lot. Right. Like, I'm real friendly with the Kissimmee Fire Department. And I always ask them, like, what are you eating? Did you know they have a pickleball court behind their fire station? And they play pickleball. Did you know that? You tell Mark that.
It's like everybody's playing pickleball except
I'm like
me.
I'm a fireman playing pickleball. And I ask him something. I always find it really strange that the firemen have to cook their own food. But anyway, it you know, so I always like to know what people are eating. You know, you'll see people with their little lunches like, what's in there? What you got in there? So most importantly is to love restaurants, to love food, is to love people. And, you know, and I'm a big believer in humanities, and it's really important. You know, Common Threads is my program I started with over 20 years ago. 20 years. And I was looking at our thing, and that we have served, I think, like 500,000 kids.
Wow.
And served 4 million meals.
That's amazing.
Crazy, yeah. And it started
a grassroots effort in the basement of an old church, which hadn't been cooked in a long time. My days, churches were used to have potlucks and stuff like that and everything. But anyway, we're very, very happy that we believed, my husband believed, the importance of teaching children art. And he said, you're going to teach them cooking, and Common Threads was born. And so we're very pleased with that. We have a big, big group of Common Threads down in Miami. But anyway, don't be in the restaurant, people. Don't be in the restaurant if you don't like people.
Yeah, like we said at the very beginning, you know, you're not in the cooking business. You are in the relationship business, and that's one of the things that I've always believed, Chef, that you can taste love in food. You know, there are some restaurants that they're just pumping out things, and it's just it's an assembly line, and then you can taste when there's love in the food, and it comes from the recipes, and I think comes from, you know, you are the heart and the soul of this restaurant, and it absolutely comes through.
And if the people are nasty, you can tell it. You can face it, the food, too. No angry food. I don't want no angry food. You know, my favorite movie, like Water for Chocolate. Remember, she'd cry, and then people would eat the food, and they cry. I mean, I feel like that energy is all in there. And so it's really important, you know, I think.
Well, I will tell you that Homecoming remains a fan favorite, not just for visitors to Walt Disney World, but locals alike. I know it's a place I like to come. We're looking forward to seeing whatever sort of culinary magic you are working on behind the scenes as the menu changes. Then you talked about, you know, Florida flavors. This is where to come to get the flavors of Florida. Right. And then this summer in Disney Springs, everybody sort of really leans into
the festival start?
July 1st through August.
Through August.
Yeah,
and
always look forward to that.
I'm making an appearance, too. It's going to be in July, so I'll try to be cool. But it's a great thing. We're doing a... Oh, I don't know what we're doing. I didn't say that. Pay no attention to me. I don't know.
But you're doing something special. You're going to do something special this summer.
Hopefully this is edited. Exactly. But there you have it.
Well, Chef, this has been wonderful. I appreciate your time today. I appreciate the love that you put into the food. I appreciate seeing you again here at the restaurant all the time, and the way that people respond, not just to what you're cooking for them, but the fact that you're here again, not just on the sign, but, you know, in person as well. And you are a treasure, and I love and appreciate spending time with you.
Thank you very much. It's so nice to be called a treasure, not Santa Claus. I checked in a hotel downtown. They were saying, is your last name Claus? I'm like, no, you did not say that. And there was a kid in the seat over here that was having a little something. And I said, maybe my beard is scaring him. No, he thinks you're Santa Claus. And I'm like going, Lord Jesus God. So I have a fried chicken chef, maybe Santa chef.
You were saying something before about, you know, these other celebrity chefs and celebrity. And I'm like, if you ever had any doubt of the celebrity of Chef Art Smith, here's just an idea I want to throw out for you. Dinner with Chef Art, some sort of special dining experience. Forget it. The line would be out the door to have dinner with you. So this is a huge treat for me able to spend it with you. So thank you so much, Chef.
And I hope to get to see people and thank them for all from the bottom of my heart for supporting us here at Homecoming. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. So do you think you know your Disney history? Have you been to the parks hundreds of times and know every detail and script and song and sound clip from the parks? Well, get ready to test your Disney knowledge with our Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week. And you can enter for a chance to win a Disney prize package. And this week's trivia contest is brought to you by you. And what I mean by that is by joining and becoming a member of the WW Radio Nation, you become a very important part of literally every single show. You help bring every episode of the show to life. And not only do you help support the show for as little as $1 per month, but you also unlock exclusive rewards like monthly scavenger hunts, group video calls, get access to our private community, monthly care packages from the parks,
Plus, your contribution helps our Dream Team project, which benefits the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and thanks to your generosity, we've raised more than $550,000 to help send children with life-threatening illnesses to Walt Disney World. And I want to quickly thank some of the new, longtime, and amazing members of the Nation family, including Giovanni Palladino, Jennifer Keisel, Caitlin Verisco, and Heather and Walter Rawl. To learn more, help the show, and join the Nation, you can visit wdwradio.com/support. Now, before we get to this week's question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week's question was pretty simple-ish and straightforward because I asked you to tell me what is or was known as the showplace of the shore. I thought this might be a little tricky. Clearly it wasn't, because it seems like everyone who entered got this one correct and know that it is, of course, the Boardwalk Resort. And you can actually find this on some signage leading from the porte-cochere inside, as well as the stairs outside leading down to the promenade, which clearly, as you know, evokes that turn of the century boardwalk feel in coastal cities like Coney Island and Atlantic City. Seaside Heights in New Jersey, not so much, but I digress. If you want to learn more about Disney's Boardwalk, or more than you ever really wanted to know, you can go back to show number 310, The Hidden Treasures of Disney's Boardwalk Resort. Show 313, we talk about Luna Park and the promenade and all of the detailed stories, and a little bit about the boardwalk that never was and might have been. Anyway, I took all the correct entries, randomly selected one. Last week, you were once again playing for the WW Radio keychain, stickers, pin, and a mystery prize, which I'm going to pull out from my personal vault and archives. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Brittany Mitchell. So, Brittany, congratulations. I'll get your prize package out to you right away. And if you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So we're going to stay at Homecoming for a spell, because at one time, this location was part of Pleasure Island, another show for another day, and in 2010, it was announced that Pleasure Island was to close, insert sad music here, and rethemed, reimagined, and renamed. What was the original name of Pleasure Island's replacement supposed to be? Before it was Disney Springs, there were plans for not just a different theme, but a completely different name for this location. What was it supposed to be? You have until Sunday, May 5th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern to go to wdwradio.com, click on this week's podcast, use the form there. Again, you're going to play for this keychain, the stickers, the pin, and a mystery prize, because I don't even know what it is yet. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Huge thanks to you for taking the time to subscribe and tune in and be part of the community and conversation this and every week. I'd love to get your feedback. Let me know what you think about my conversation with Art, what your favorite item on the menu is. Did anything on the Homecoming menu make your dinner crawl suggestion from last week? Come share your thoughts about this and join some of the other great conversations going on in the clubhouse over at wdwradio.com/clubhouse. Join me this and every Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, on Facebook in the clubhouse or at youtube.com/wdwradio for WW Radio Live. I'm not sure where I'm going to be in the parks or resorts this week at a great time, walking you through and giving you a tour of Disney's Wilderness Lodge, staying for the fireworks and a spectacular view of the electrical water pageant last week. And if there's somewhere from the parks or resorts in Walt Disney World you'd like me to go live from this week, let me know over in the clubhouse and maybe I will head there on Wednesday night. Don't forget, you can also leave a voicemail at 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WDW1 with a question or a comment about this week's show. Anything that you'd like to share, and I will play it on the air. Let's connect and chat on social again. I'm at Lou Mangiello on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And please make sure you check out the events page at wdwradio.com/events for our next meet of the month, our On the Road event next month in London, our cruise on the Disney Magic this October to Lighthouse Point, our cruise on the Disney Treasure in February. We'll be on the floor again at D23, the ultimate Disney fan experience this summer in Anaheim, along with our friends from Mouse Fan Travel. And if you want to get to Expo, if you want to get to Disneyland or Walt Disney World, or come with us on one of our cruises or book your own adventure, go visit my friends over at mousefantravel.com, not just because they're going to help you navigate all the planning, share their experience and expertise, but they're going to treat you like you're a member of their own family. again, assuming that they like their own families, they're going to treat you like a member of the family and give you an incredible level of personal service. It is their hallmark. It's why it's who I've used. It's who I trust and why it's who I recommend to you for almost 18 years. You can go and visit them over at mousefantravel.com. Tell them Lou sent you. And if you like the show, and I hope that you do, please share the show. Tell a friend. If you share it on social, tag me at Lou Mangello. I'll be sure to reshare it, follow you. And if you can, take just a second to rate and review the show over in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And finally, and most importantly, thank you for the gifts of your friendship and your time. I hope the show put a smile on your face, a little bit of warmth in your heart, and brought you a little bit of that Disney magic. Thank you, Chef Art Smith. And don't forget that every day is an opportunity for you to create your own happily ever after. Choose the good. Have an amazing day and even better tomorrow. So until next time, I love you. See you soon.